Acts chapter 3, is everybody there? Say amen. I can't say amen. Amen, I'm there too. All righty. We're preaching through the book of Acts, and I'm telling you what, a book of Acts is a book of action, and I don't have a lot of time to review, but chapter 1, we looked over in chapter 1 how they took off there, man alive. They began to preach what Jesus did and taught, and that they saw Him alive, and that their lives were changed by the fact of a resurrected Savior. And they were told to wait on that promise. And in verse number 8 of chapter 1, He promised them the power of God would come, the Holy Ghost would come upon them, that they'd be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. And He gave the format for world evangelism and local evangelism there. And then they promised that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back again in verse 11. And then they went off and prayed in verse number 14. And they prayed 10 days waiting for the promise of the Spirit to come. And chapter 2, the Lord did exactly what He said. The day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came, and the Lord gave them the ability to give the gospel in every nation under heaven. You can find that in verse number 5, but most missionary groups don't even believe that verse. They don't believe that the gospel has been preached into every nation under heaven already. If you can believe that or not, you don't, just what the Bible said. You better read that Bible out of every nation under heaven. And they heard Him speak the Lord, the gospel in their own language. And then old Peter got up and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved, and the power of God went with those people. And it finishes up there in verse number 47 of chapter number 2, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And God was in the midst of that thing. And this morning we take off in chapter 3, and I want to go along here in a little while, and I've got something to preach on, but we'll come back in a little bit. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Lord, help us to preach. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, verse number 12, he answered unto the people. Oh, Peter saw that situation arise. That man got healed. Everybody ran up and said, "Man alive, what in the world's going on?" And Peter said, "I believe I got a chance to preach right here, and I'm going to let her rip and fly." And he did, and I'll tell you about that tonight. All right, we'll talk about that tonight. Now, just a couple things before I get into the message. You know, they were coming into the temple. They were coming to worship. And here's this lame man been laid there. I wonder this morning, when you came to church, if there'd have been a man sitting out here all dirty and grimy with an old sack, and he's sitting on the side of the sidewalk as you walked in, and he said, "Would you give me something? Do you have anything to give him?" What do you got to give somebody on the way to church? I was going to preach on that. I ain't going to preach on it. But what have we got to give people around us, in our neighborhood, and our friend, the people you're meeting? Have we got anything inside us? You know, it got up there, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." There's a real account in history where a man had an audience with the Pope. And the Pope was walking him around, and I can't think of the guy's name right now, but he said to him, the Pope said to this man, "Well, it can no longer be said that silver and gold have I none." And the old boy said, "Pope, you're right. It can't be said about..." They think Peter was first Pope, but Peter was married, and Peter never was Pope, and anyway, they're all messed up on that. But anyway, he said, "But neither can you say, rise up and walk." Amen? Now listen to me. This man sitting there didn't have anything, and he couldn't walk nothing, and people giving him money. And if you're not careful, you'll give people things that ain't really costing you and that doesn't require much out of you. But to cause people to be able to get up and walk, and that man's a picture of a lost man, and it's a picture of us on our way and our journey to worship, being able to help people who really need lifting in this world. We'll talk about that more later. I've got to preach because I want to eat today. Amen. And anyway, no, let's go to verse number 1. I want to preach a message today on the message of the ninth hour. Look at verse number 1. We're going to preach through the book of Acts. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, the first thing I want to say is Peter and John. Peter and John, the Bible said, went up together into the temple in the hour of prayer. Boy, you talk about a beautiful scene. Here's old Peter. Here's old John. And he said, let's go to church together. You know, there's nothing. There are contrasts. Peter was a rough prophet kind of a guy. Cut off your ear. Impetuous. Always wanting to get. But John was a mercy. Very kind and considerate and compassionate. These two guys. Watch this. These two guys different. Different personalities. Do you know anybody in here in this church with a different personality than yours? Does it bug you being around people who talk a lot? Does it bug you being around people who won't say nothing? Does it bug you being around people who are opinionated? I mean, listen, there's people sitting real near you who are a lot different than you are. But you know something, the truth about it in this church this morning? There's not one thing we have in common really except Jesus Christ. There's really not much that you and I would have together except maybe an occasional situation of business together or whatever. But apart from Jesus Christ, we don't really have that much in common. But in Jesus Christ, here's two men that are very different personality men, but they're on their way to church together. They're unified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. I thank God for the people in this church that I look forward to coming to church together with in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the old song says it'll make you love everybody. It'll make you love everybody. It didn't say make you just a nicey-nicey, but it'll make you love everybody. Make you suffer along with them. Be kind. And it said they went up together. What a beautiful scene. They were in unity. They were in one accord. They were one mind. And then it said, at the hour of prayer. Now, I'll tell you what. The Bible teaches this, and Jesus taught this in His life, and Paul taught this. And you watch the disciples in the Bible, and even in the Old Testament, there was a set place for prayer. There was a set time for prayer. There was a set purpose for prayer. Now, the place for that prayer in this situation was the temple, the place of gathering together worship. We have a set time for prayer in this church. Wednesday night prayer meeting. And let me tell you something. Without Wednesday night prayer meeting, this Sunday morning service ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. I can tell you that. Because without Him, we can do nothing. We can't do a thing without the power of Almighty God. There was a set place. But notice something, and I never caught this before in my life. There was a set time, the ninth hour. The ninth hour. Now, the Holy Ghost doesn't put something in the Bible accidentally. There's a reason for that being there. And then there was a purpose for prayer. Do you know they didn't go to church to be fed? They didn't go to church to be entertained? They had no other purpose that we know of for going to church this day other than to pray. Let me ask you a question. If we just were going to pray, is that enough to get you to church? If all we're going to do is pray, they're not going to sing, nobody's going to feed us, Reggie ain't going to get up and hoop and holler and jump around and keep me awake. All they're going to do is pray from 10 o'clock to noon. How many would come after six Sundays of that? I want to ask you, what's your motivation for going to worship? They went up to the temple to pray. They had been with Christ 3.5 years. They had seen Him pray, watched Him pray. They had learned to pray. They knew the value of prayer. They knew the power of prayer. They knew the necessity of prayer. And prayer was an integral, absolute part of their life. I want to encourage you today. Start praying. Quit worrying. Quit scheming. Quit planning. Quit conniving. Quit wiggling it. Start praying. Donnie said something about prayer this morning, Sunday school class. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 53 years old, been saved about 6 years now, but I'm just starting to learn a little bit. I'm looking to see the whole bigger picture of this thing, and prayer is where it's at. Amen? There can be more done with prayer than all the huffing and puffing and all the stuff we can do. Why is it we don't pray more than we do? Now, I want you to take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 27. Now, hold Acts 3, and I want to talk about the message of the ninth hour, and I don't care if you get happy about this morning, okay? It'll be all right if you get happy. Boy, some of you ain't figured this out yet this morning, have you? Hey, listen, it's all right to smile. Hey, listen, it's all right to be happy in Jesus this morning. It's all right to have faith. It's all right to cry out to God. It's all right to pray and to weep. Do you know what? I was reading in my Bible this morning on a totally different subject I'm not even preaching on, and I read something, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost broke my heart and started weeping right there when I was reading. And I wasn't weeping because I was sad. I was weeping because I was so glad in God and so thankful, and it just sweetened my heart up. Look in Matthew chapter 27. Now notice something here. In verse 1 of Acts 3 it says, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The ninth hour. I want to preach on the message of the ninth hour. Matthew chapter 27 verse 45. How many people's there this morning? You know what I want you to do? Now I preached the socks off the devil last Sunday night, and I know y'all thought I was mad. I ain't mad at nobody but the devil. I just want everybody to be saved and know it. Alright, that's all I want. But this morning, I'm happy as a kid just been let out of school. All righty? And I want to give you something. Bless your heart. Amen. Matthew chapter. So just have a good old time this morning in the Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Everybody there?
Amen.
Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land unto what?
The ninth hour.
You know, Jesus now is hanging on the cross of Calvary. He's there dying for our sins. He is suffering for our sins. He is taking our sins upon Him. And the Bible said that while He was on that cross, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour while He was there, there was darkness over all the land. And about, what's this, the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Well, that is to say, and by the way, that's the Arabic Syrian language. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, at about the ninth hour, He cried out, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, all that was transpiring, I cannot tell you. All that went on in the darkness, I cannot tell you, other than this, that during that time, the Lord Jesus Christ bore every sin around the world that was ever going to be and had been committed. That He took in His own body our sins, and He was bearing the wrath of God and taking our sin in His own body on the tree. And in doing that, He was separated from God. You see, our sin separates us from God. And Christ had to fulfill everything and pay for everything and satisfy everything that sin does. And part of what He did, sin puts darkness in your life. Is that not correct? Sin will put darkness in your life. And the darkness of sin, He even bore that. There was darkness from the sixth and ninth hour. And then He was separated from God by the sin. And He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken? He cried out that so you and I could never be forsaken. Amen. We tie all them words together in the Bible to bless your heart. Then look what it says. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway some of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him the drink. And the rest said, let be, let's see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when He cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Ninth hour now. About the ninth hour, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They took and tried to put vinegar on him, give him vinegar to drink, gave him drink. And then He cried again with a loud voice. And we know what He said from the other Gospels. He said, it is finished. And all the bill and all the price and all the debt and all the wrath and judgment of God against our sins had been paid for in Jesus Christ. It was finished. Amen? When was it finished? The ninth hour. Right there. Now watch real close what happened when it was finished at the ninth hour. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now you can read that account in Mark chapter 15. You can read it in Luke chapter 23. Don't need to turn there now. But again, Jesus Christ, now you can go back and hold those two places, Acts 3 and Matthew 27. I said this, that song that we sung earlier this morning when I got up here at the cross, one of the verses in that song says this, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died. for man, the creature's sin. There on that cross, Jesus Christ was taking our sin and our darkness upon Him. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. And God, that sin that you and I have in us, that darkness that it brought, Jesus bore that upon Him. He was there on the cross, beaten. He was there on the cross, buffeted, the Bible said. He was there on the cross, broken. He was there on the cross, bruised for our iniquities. He was there on the cross, battered. And the Bible said His visage was marred more than any man. And there Jesus Christ was on the cross. There, that sin that He bore and the darkness that He bore and separated from God for us by our sins. The Bible said in Corinthians, for He, talking about God, hath made Him on the cross, Jesus Christ there, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the gospel. That Christ substituted, died in our place as our substitute. And He took our sins upon Him and bore our sin. And then not only that, but God now imputes the righteousness of our sin is imputed to Christ. Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. And we're made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, listen, then He took His head there, that my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He bore our sins, He bore our darkness, He bore our death. And I think about O.H.P. Spafford's song, It Is Well With My Soul, when he wrote this verse. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I want to ask you this morning to do something. Oh, would you get your eyes off yourself this morning? Get your eyes off your problems this morning. Get your eyes off of this world and put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And remember this morning, come to church to worship Him who died for you, who shed His precious blood for you, who was buried to take away your sins and who rose on the third day. And all of your sin, past, present, future, was nailed to the cross in Jesus Christ. And you're saved by His sacrifice and by His substitutionary death. And then I want you to look what happened after that. It said the ninth hour there, the veil, after He bore our sins, after He paid the price, after He took our death, after He took our darkness, after He took our sorrows, after He bore our griefs, after He suffered the wrath of God. Verse 51 in Matthew 27 said, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I want you to know something about a veil this morning. A veil is something that comes between two people. It comes between two parties. A veil also hides. There are many veils in the Scripture. There's at least six. But there was a veil in the tabernacle. Jonathan, would you care to get that thing up, that board up for me this morning? There was a veil in the tabernacle. There was a veil in the temple. There was a veil over Moses' eyes, over his face. And the Bible teaches us that Christ, watch this, listen to me, Christ's flesh, Christ's body was a veil. Okay? Now, also, there's a veil over the nation of Israel to this day. Now, the veil, the Bible said, was rent from top to the bottom. Now, let's look at this thing just a minute. In the tabernacle, the tabernacle was built like this in the Old Testament. It traveled with the children of Israel. This was the outer curtain, the outer court. This was the actual tabernacle here. That actual tabernacle had two parts. It had the holy place, and it had the most holy place. Okay? And this was called the outer court. This was a picture of the way that God provided for man to come to God and be reconciled and forgiven and cleansed. You had to bring your sacrifice, a lamb, through the gate. Jesus is called the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You had to bring a sinless, you had to bring a spotless lamb, a blemishless lamb, a male lamb. It was all a picture of Jesus Christ. When you come through that gate, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Right? All right? So that's a picture of Christ. The first thing you came to was a brazen altar. And there it was a great, it was like a huge barbecue grill. And there they put, the priest put his hand upon that lamb and he leaned on it, meaning the transfer of sin to the substitute. The transfer of sin, in other words, the daddy came in there, brought the lamb in, the daddy laid his hand and leaned on the sheep's head, and then the priest took a knife and cut the throat of the lamb, and they caught the lamb's blood in a basin, and then they took the lamb and dressed it and put it on top of this altar, and there it was consumed and burned up. And that lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That altar was a picture of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ gave His life and was consumed and by the wrath of God and consumed for our sins. That blood had to be sprinkled around all the corners, and that blood covered all of our sin. Then the next thing you did, the priest took that and he went down to what's called the laver. And the laver had mirrors in the bottom of it, it had water in it. And that laver was to be washed in. After you've come to Christ, you couldn't slip under the curtains or you'd be killed. You had to come in. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. All right? Now, you have to come by the way of blood sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice. Somebody has to die in your place. You can't pay for your sin. Then after you're saved, then it's washing. Peter, remember Jesus told Peter, he said, I want to wash your feet. Oh, Peter said, well, let's wash my head and my hand and everything. No, no, no. He said, you're clean except your feet. You're clean every whit, but your feet. And you as a Christian, after you've been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you have a walk in your Christian life and your feet will get dirty. You're walking through this world, you're going to get contaminated. And you're to come to this laver and you're to wash in the laver. The laver is a picture of the Bible. It had mirrors in it. And the Bible teaches that this book is like a mirror, and as we look in it, it reflects ourselves like we really are, not like we think we are. And then there's water available for the washing. And we're to wash with the water of the Word. One of the jobs that I have to do as a pastor, when you come to this church, y'all better have some water from the Word of God that will help you in washing in your life. As you came in then to the holy place, on the right hand was the table of showbread. And the table of showbread was where Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. Then there was the lampstand over here. And the lampstand, and Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And there was oil in there. And the Holy Spirit speaks, the oil speaks of the Holy Ghost. And then there was this here little altar of incense before the veil. And this altar of incense was a place where they was where the incense went up, and is a picture of prayer. In fact, there's a beautiful message there. And then here, what's this? Was the veil. There was the veil. Veil was about 4 to 5 inches thick. It was said that they tested it with oxen and 4 oxen on each corner of the veil before they would hang it up for when they made them. And if those oxen could tear that veil, it was not used in the temple of the tabernacle. That veil was to keep them separated from God. In here was the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubims on it and the mercy seat and the things inside the mercy seat, the rod that budded, the manna and so forth, and the tablets. And that's a picture of Jesus Christ who kept the law, who is the resurrection, the branch, and who is our life, the manna. Now the high priest who operated here could only go in to the most holy place once a year and not without blood. If he went in there without blood and when he did the service that one time a year, the great high day, he would be killed. They used to keep a rope on his ankle. Because if he wasn't right and went in there and did wrong, God would kill him and they'd have to pull him out with a rope. This is all a picture of Christ. When the temple was built, it was built on the same basis as the tabernacle. All right? Up here on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ dies. Remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's fulfilled all of this. He's the way. He's the door. He's our sacrifice. He's our lamb. He's the blood. He's the water. He's the word. He's the bread. He's the light. He's our intercessory, our great high priest. And His flesh is the veil between us and God Almighty. No man can come in the presence of God and live unless he has an intercessor, unless he has a high priest. Now you watch this. This will bless your heart up one side and down the other. Some of you's out here, you're lost. You've never been saved. Some of you's come to Christ and you've come to the cross, but you've never went on. Let me tell you something God died for. I'm going to tell you something. You get this really hard this morning. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary to restore lost blessings from the Garden of Eden. He died to restore your relationship with God Almighty, the Creator God. Okay? You want to get that? Because the blessings won't come till the relationship's been restored. And we're all the time trying to get blessings without the relationship. How many of you have had children, or you were a child and you wanted the relation, you wanted the blessings of your parents, but not the relationship? You understand what I'm talking about? The moment you start this morning switching your whole life's position to where you want the relationship with God, not the blessings, that's fine, that's great, but I want the relationship with God. When you get the relationship with God, then the blessings come, and they're true blessings and real blessings and lasting blessings, and they'll really bless you. Amen. All righty. Anyway, I can't figure you all out this morning. You got me figured out, I ain't got you figured out yet. All right, here's this veil. Now, Jesus died on the cross. He gave up the ghost. He yielded up the ghost. And then the Bible says something happened. Boy, now, I wished I could have brought something to illustrate this morning. But if that veil was hanging up here this morning, it was 10 cubits. That would be about 18 inches times 10, be about 180 inches wide. And that veil hanging there. By the way, that veil set on silver sockets. Every way it was hung speaks of Christ and our redemption. And you know what? Now watch this. Watch this. Oh, this is good. Now I'm going to let you go home just a little bit. Remember, this was the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer. Now I want to tie it together. I want you to do some Bible thinking. Remember the verse we read this morning, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. I'm going to tell you something that's got some of the greatest significance to you, and it'll just explode your Christian life, explode your relationship with God. There's a message there. It was at the ninth hour, and when Jesus died, the Bible said that this veil, something, listen to me, that four oxes couldn't tear apart, split right down the middle from the top to the bottom. Now, what would happen if you had been the high priest and the people in here come to worship that day? And the veil goes, would you have run and got your needle and thread? These things were generational things that were made. You just didn't run out and go to Walmart and buy one. And let me just kind of act like I was the priest at the temple. And the thing, hold my land to live, and God's going to kill everybody. You stay back, stay back, stay back. You'll die. The presence of God is in the most holy place. You can't go there. You can't be around Him. You can't talk to Him. You don't have access to Him. Get back, lest you die. He didn't understand, did he? You see, when Jesus Christ died, it was a picture that through His death and through His sacrifice, the way was made for you and I to go to God. And watch this. Right up through the middle we go. Can I tell you something? Look up the word "in the midst" in the Bible. Study the phrase "in the midst." It was in the midst of the garden where the tree was. It's in the midst of the paradise of God. And God's, I'm going to tell you something. God cut it. And by the way, look at this. That veil was ripped from top to bottom. Salvation is of the Lord. It didn't rip from the bottom up, man trying to get through to God. You see, you come to God God's way. And salvation is of the Lord. That thing ripped from top to bottom. And we can now go into the holy place. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about, you see, that veil spoke of the fact that we're separated from God by our sins. And we don't have access to God. We're vile, unholy, vile, wicked sinners. He's a holy, righteous God. Sin can't be in His presence. But when that veil ripped, now let me tell you something. You still had to be through here to get in there. That don't mean somebody standing out here could go in there. It meant who's ever come through here could go in there. But you know what it tells me this morning? I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He... Oh, yeah? And He tells me I am His own. Listen to it. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It means this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Watch it, here we go. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry. How much? Everything to God in prayer. The hour of prayer was the ninth hour, not on accident. The hour of prayer was on the ninth hour because that's the hour that you have access to God by prayer through Jesus Christ. It's not something you don't already know. It's something you know. I'm just reminding you of it in another way. That this morning, I want you to take your Bible. We're going to do a run real quick, all right? Real quick. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Boy, what a privileged prayer is, amen? Oh, Frankie called me up while he was up in Kansas City and he said, Reggie, I just kind of needed to talk to somebody today. He said, would you all be praying for us? I said, Frankie, let's pray now. Hallelujah! He didn't have to wait till he got back down to church and come to the temple to pray. Amen. Glory to God! He doesn't have to come up to me and sit on the other side of a little lattice window and say, have Mary pray for me. Hey, boy, I tell you, this is the sweetest truth you ever got a hold of, Barbara. I ain't got to go to a Catholic priest to pray, amen. I ain't got to go to some preacher to talk to God. I ain't got to go to mom or daddy to talk to Jesus Christ. I ain't got a Heavenly Father, and I have access through the veil, Jesus Christ, right into the throne room of Almighty God. And you can be riding your tractor, driving your car, washing your dishes. I don't care what you're doing. God is ready to hear you. You've got access to God through the veil this morning because at the ninth hour, amen, the hour of power, the hour of prayer, the veil was rent. God says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible said, come boldly unto the throne. And watch it, watch it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and help in time of need. Amen. I'm going to tell you the biggest thing we're hindering and hurting in our churches today is we're not using the most holy place. We're not praying through the veil. You got troubles this morning? You got any needs? Why don't you pray? Get your family together and get on your knees and say, God, help us. Man, why don't we pray? He's made the way. You know what me and Frankie did? We had shut the phone. I'll tell you the greatest you know what's funny to me is cell phones. I mean, brother, I'm going to tell you something. If I can pick up the phone, this little buzzy thing, and dial a number, and it go through the air and call Van and talk to him, bless your heart, I can go through the air to God. Amen? I mean, God was in the cell phone business centuries ago. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is how you know God. He is the veil that was torn. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you can have the knowledge of God in your heart. You can have access to God. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do. What can prayer do? I'll tell you what, I have lost a bunch of verses and I'm just more excited than upside. Did I throw something plumb away? Well, anyway, what can prayer do? Hey, go to Hebrews. Let's just go to Hebrews. I can find them without my notes. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse number 7. Everybody there, say amen. But into the second. Now God's talking, if you look at it, it's talking about the tabernacle and the temple in chapter 9. But into the second, that's right here. Into the most holy place. Went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, that means he's showing you a pattern of the things, how it is in heaven, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present. Listen, he said, until Jesus Christ died on the cross, man could not have direct access to God. He needed a high priest, and Jesus Christ was that. But the veil had to be satisfied. The holiness of God had to be satisfied. Jesus satisfied it, and the veil rent, and you and I now have access and talk to God. That's why you can talk to you right now while I'm preaching. You can talk to God, and God listen and hear you. Why? Because if you're saved, Jesus Christ is your advocate. He's your intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. He didn't say cockiness. He didn't say arrogance. He said boldness. Having therefore, brethren, I wish I could preach without getting excited, don't you? I mean, so, you know, sometimes I think I'll... Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into where? By what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. By new and what way? Living way. Not some dead church. Not some dead religion. A living way, amen. I'm talking to God. God is hearing when I'm praying in Jesus' name. By a new living way which He hath consecrated. Circle these two words for us. Every time you read that in the Bible, you ought to circle it. Through what? Through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. Ooh, look at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. Verse number 22. Let us do something. What? Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He said, come on in, amen. Hey, how many times has God asked you to pray? How many times has God urged you to pray? How many times has God encouraged you to pray? God said, pray. Somebody help me with some prayer verses this morning. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, we know that we have the petition that we ask. He said, pray without ceasing. He said, pray. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, seek and you shall find. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I want to ask you a question this morning. When's the last time you could document and write down God answered a prayer that you specifically prayed? Amen. Hey, get out of the ditch this morning. I'm not preaching mean to you. I'm not beating nobody over the head. I'm trying to say, I found some water. Here it is. Come and get it. Pray, amen. Pray, amen. Pray, pray, pray fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails a little bit. No, avails much. Amen. But you know what our problem is? We ain't praying. We're worrying. We're thinking. We're figuring. We're drinking. We're drugging. We're popping pills. We're doing everything else but praying. I don't tell you what prayer will do for you. Number one, prayer will procure salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You ain't saved here today. Call on Him. Pray. That'll get you. God will save you if you call on Him. Then began to call upon the Lord. The Bible said, He said, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I'm telling you, blood, that verse means the power of prayer in your life, knowing that you have access to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Look at it and believe it and claim it for your own. I'm not just preaching this morning. Hey, there's somebody stealing hats back here in the bullpen for you. I'm telling you that somebody is stealing hats back there in the foyer. I see it. You heard about the old boy, didn't you? Preacher's preaching. The guy came in, started here stealing all the hats, started stealing all the coats. He said, somebody stop him. He's a stealing. Every once in a while, some old deacons say, amen. Church got over. They went back there, snow's blowing, sleeting, their coats and hats are gone. They said, somebody stole our hats and coats. They said, he said, I tried to tell you. They said, we just thought you was preaching. If you ain't careful, you come to church every Sunday morning. You just think, ah, that's old Reg. He's just up there having his little Sunday spell. I hope I keep having my Sunday spells till the Lord comes back. Amen. Oh, listen, I've got a list in my house. You can't read it, but I've got a little notebook in my house, and it talks about prayer and what I ask God to do. And over here, I've even wrote down, God, you didn't answer that prayer. I don't understand prayer. God, I don't understand what you're doing. Why didn't you answer that prayer like I wanted you to? Lord, I'll just admit to you, I don't understand. Maybe down the road, I'd say, oh, God, I understand why you didn't answer that prayer the way I thought you wanted to. Oh, God, you did answer that prayer. Lord, thank you for that answered prayer. God ain't going to answer every prayer like you want Him to. He said, pray according to the will of God. Amen. And part of this whole process is getting you in the will of God. But oh, I'm going to tell you something. God's answered thousands of prayer in my life. Thousands of prayer. God's answered prayer is naive for you. I forgot. Thank you, miss. I mean, He just did it and I went on there. Listen, I don't always think, but I'm telling you, God answers prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You say, what prayer do? It gets you saved, for one thing. How many got saved by calling on the Lord? Yeah, everybody got saved calling on the Lord. Prayer pretty powerful, ain't it? And then the second thing it'll do, it'll provide blessing. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, but Lord, I want 6 months stocked up. You say, Reg, I'll tell you what. Hey, just pray. Didn't God say, give us this day our daily bread? He said, pray for your food. Pray for God to give you food. I'm going to tell you about us, men. We think we're pretty, we got it all figured out, man. We make a good living for our family, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you something. God knock you out, bud. Have you laying on your back and you don't know how you're going to feed your family. You have to ask God. Amen. God give you grace. God give me grace. How many's over at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16? Y'all been there a long time. Just me the one needs to get there. Amen. Verse number 16, look at verse number 14. Everybody there? Yes. Seeing then, we have what? We got something. What we got? A great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You called Reg up, you got sick, everything went south and sour on you, and Reg, you didn't even call, much less come see. Say amen right there. Amen. How many told you? How many people has the devil told you Reggie doesn't really care? Say amen. All right. Hey, you know what? The devil might have told you a partial truth there sometimes. You know what? I mean, I care, but you know, I don't care like I ought to care. And can I say something to y'all? Y'all don't care like you ought to care. I've been over my house, and I'll tell you, I was down there, and I was crying, and I was weeping. And I'll tell you what, I got a bad letter this week, and nobody, not one of you called me to caring for me this week. Don't talk to me about caring for you. Why don't you care for me once in a while, amen? No. Hey, listen, it's the truth. But let me tell you who does know your infirmities and who's touched. is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you the blessing of having a pastor who doesn't think he's everything. It'll force you to Christ. It'll force you to Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses for my pitiful failures and inadequacies. But I'm going to tell you something. God can take something that ain't right in this world, and He can make it the sweetest blessing to where absolutely you're glad after a while Reggie didn't come. Because you wouldn't have had that hour of prayer. You wouldn't have had that hour in the Bible. You wouldn't have read that Psalms. You wouldn't have discovered the sweetness of Jesus Christ that nobody then can take away from you. Oh, let me tell you something. When you're laying on your pillow, and I'll tell you what, when it's down, you're in the ditch and below the mud, there ain't nobody like Jesus. I'll tell you, He said, He ain't some man, amen. Here we've got a great high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let me tell you something. Jesus does care about how you feel. But it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Watch verse 16. Here it is. Look up here. Look. Let us come, therefore come boldly where? Here it is. Boldly to the throne of grace. Right into the very presence of Almighty God. That just staggers my mind. Hey, Brother Phil, that I can pray and get on my knees and say, Dear Lord God, I'm coming to You today. And God in heaven that spoke this world into existence says, Yes, Reggie, I'm hearing, son. Yeah. I'm not talking to some statue, some figure somewhere, or talking to some man. The God that made this earth, the God that put the stars in their sockets, the God that holds it. We was down on the ocean this week, and I'll tell you what, if you think that little girl didn't have herself a blast, you should have been there. Amen. Them waves come in, swept over her. She just like flipped on a backflip. She giggled and giggled till she couldn't hardly giggle no more. And you know what? Sarah was standing over on the beach, and I walked up to her. I said, Sarah, I said, something strange. I said, look at all this water. And they tell me the earth's about 2/3 of ocean. And I said, this earth's hanging out on nothing. And I said, the earth's spinning. Why don't this water all just run off? All things were made by Him, and by Him all things consist. And that God, when I talk to Him, I can be preaching to you and praying to Him at the same time. You don't think I'm that good, but I can do that, amen. You get forced into that, amen. I can sell cows and pray at the same time. Lord, make him bid one more time. Hey, you'd pray that too if you had my job. That's right. I pray about everything. Lord, I need a good parking spot. I don't want to have to walk too far today. Lord, keep them idiots away from me on the road today. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, learn to pray. You know what the deal is? You can go right in the presence of Almighty God. You can get the blessing of mercy. I don't tell you what you sin. You did that which you thought you would not do. And you say, God, forgive me. And God gives you mercy through prayer. God gives you help. Look what it said there in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? Time of need. Amen. Amen. I've got a God that can help me in the time of my need. I'll tell you what, I've been watching this series on the Irish in America. There's a 4-part series on the Irish in America. I'll tell you, a bunch of drunk, crazy people. I'm glad I'm only half Irish. No, let me tell you, them poor people. Bondage down. You ever read The Priest, the Woman, and the Confessional by Charles Chiniquay? You know how they conquer nations? Through the confessional booth. Because the priest knows more about a man's wife than he does. It's called the arts. Priestcraft arts. And they destroy people by it. Oh, Brother Frankie, I'll tell you, I'm glad. I got on my knees this morning in a bathroom. I was about ready to go to church. I just dropped on my knees. I said, Oh, dear God, I want to thank You that some of my forefathers somewhere got out of Catholicism. I want to thank You that some old preacher preached the grace of God and preached that Jesus was enough and they didn't need that old priest. Thank You, God, I'm not going to Mass this morning. Hey, glory to God. I was ready to come to church this morning. I'm glad that Karen ain't got to wear to sit down by a window and a preacher. What's been on your mind, Miss Kelly, this week? Have you had any impure thoughts? Now, don't lie to Father so-and-so. And by the way, I won't get into the garbage. but the one who everything from your political deal, what you're going to vote and everything else. Do you think that your husband, he starts manipulating men with the women? Hallelujah, Karen. I had a grandfather, granddaddy that got out of Catholicism, and he read that verse, "Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we have access to God through Jesus Christ." Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Woo! Glory, I just felt like doing that. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've got the devil on the run. He don't like it when he find out that Jesus Christ is all you need. Amen. He don't like it when you find out that you can go straight gun barrel straight into the throne room of Almighty God, and you can pray and have access to God, and Jesus Christ is your high priest, and He ever lives to make intercession for you. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, one of the sweetest things you ever read in your life. Did I get that right? Ephesians, what to do with my glasses? There they are. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start at 13. Everybody there say amen. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off." Watch this now. Hey, look up here for a minute. "Ye who sometimes were far off, outside God, are made nigh by the what? Blood of Christ." Oh, said you can come in now. The blood's been... Some of you said this morning you're lost as a turkey. You pray, you're just talking to a rock. You know why you don't have access? Because you've not been redeemed by the blood. You get saved by the blood, you've got gun barrel shot into God. All right, here we go. It said there, "Made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." That the far off people was the Gentiles, and the nigh people was the Jews. Verse 18, watch this. "For through Him," Jesus Christ, "we both, Jews and Gentiles, have" what? "By one Spirit unto the Father." There's the triune Godhead. We have access, you ought to mark that in your Bible. "Through Him," Christ, "we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have access to the Father by the Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, dear Lord Jesus, would you help us in our business? Lord Jesus, would you keep us safe on the job today? Father, I want to thank you for hearing us today and thank you for the blood of Christ. Oh, God, today I pray that you'd meet with us when we come to church, and I want to thank you for answering that prayer. Thank you for giving me that old-time unction and the power of the Holy Spirit to preach with this morning. God, you've heard prayer. I thank you, Father, today for the access that we have straight to thy throne through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Amen. When you're praying, the Holy Spirit of God takes your prayer. In the name of Jesus, your great high priest, to the Father, and God hears your prayer. It looks to me like we'd want to pray, don't it? Did you know what the Bible said? If ye ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. Whew, grab that one. See if you, hey, ride that bull. Amen. Oh, the devil spends half the time messing with you, trying to get you not to pray. Think you're wasting your time. The joy of answered prayer. The message of the cross, I want to encourage you to pray, talk to God, come into His presence, live in His bounty. Remember that our access to God is by Christ's death, which occurred at the ninth hour, and when He died, the veil was rent. Peter and John knew what they was doing. They knew what they was talking about. You can have a real and a vital and eternal relationship with God. And when you bow your head, that through Christ you really are coming into God's presence, that staggers me. And that He will hear and answer your petition. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to tell you something right there in your seat where you're at today. You can call on Him. You can say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior today. God to save you." You're here today and you say, "Reggie, I've got a mountain that needs to be moved. I've got a mountain that needs to be moved." Do you know the Bible says, speaking of that mountain, it'll be moved? I want to tell you what, you start getting on higher ground. "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Let's stand together. "Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I tell you, I just want to give my Lord the glory this morning. God's been so good to me. And ain't nobody in this house nor anybody outside this house, but what can ever tell me that God answers prayer? God's answered mighty prayer. And I tell you what, I want to give you some encouragement this morning. I know there's things that can hinder your prayer life. But I tell you what I want to encourage you to do. You start praying. Get a set time, a set place, and a set purpose. And remember that when Jesus died, it was made so you could go talk to God and it really be a real thing. Can I tell you something this morning that needs to happen in every person's life? How many of you growed up in church and you've seen people praying? If you're not careful, prayer can just become part of your life because that's what you've been around all you've done. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful also, you get through life and you kind of get messed up and you're praying and nothing happened. Your prayer life gets dead and nothing's happening. And all of a sudden the devil come in and say, God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't answer prayer. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm preaching a message to you. I'm reminding you of God's truth that He does answer prayer. And I'm telling you something, He wants to hear from you. And He's not too busy to hear from you. And I hope this church will just pray. And I hope you'll just pray more than you've ever prayed. I hope there'll be some people praying for a camp and praying for this 4th of July and praying for the CDs and praying for souls to be saved and praying for our marriages to stay together and praying for our children to serve God. And I'm telling you something, we ain't going to be worth a... Old boy said a peanut with both ends bored out if we don't know how to pray in this church. So would you pray? I want to tell you, how many prays for me? Can I tell you something? You are not wasting your time. You don't even know how bad I need your prayer. You read that stinking letter I got in the mail yesterday, it just makes you want to throw up. Walk right into this church for no other purpose than to try to damage this church. I mean, conniving, premeditated, garbage. Let me tell you something. Brother Les McAllister, I want to thank you for a message God gave me through your testimony last week. You stood up here last week and you said something to this effect. That man asked you to become an officer, right? To go to officer school. And your uncle that had been in World War I said they shoot officers. And you decided you didn't want to be one, right? I'll tell you what, when you said that, it's like the Holy Ghost God said, Reggie, understand something there. Because you're the pastor, expect more fire. Expect more fire. You know, that just helped me. Devil shoot me, get me knocked down. Affect a lot of people. Amen. Well, the main message of my prayer was that at the ninth hour, it was teaching us that the veil was rent and Christ died and made the way we could pray. And man, life, the way is open. Let's go. What do you reckon? Let's go. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, for the message of the ninth hour, that Christ made the way that we could come and talk to God. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you commune with us, that relationship has been restored. God, you like to come down and walk with old Adam in the evening, the cool of the day. God, you want to walk with these people. You want to visit with them. You want to spend time with them. Dear Lord Jesus, just like we love for our kids to come and visit with us, spend time with us, God, help us to know that you want your children to come and spend time with you. And oh God, today I'm so thankful that we have access into the very throne room of God, to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, to get our sins forgiven, to find grace for help in time of need. God, I'm asking this morning, quicken this congregation to the need of prayer, to the privilege of prayer, and to the power of prayer. God, make us a praying people, I pray. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. We'll see you tonight. God bless you and pray and pray and pray.